should be on. And Mike be on. Mike is on. It's amazing. You know, I think it's funny, but, you know, Jesus preached to quite a crowd, and he didn't have sound reinforcement. How is that possible? They were great orators there. Or maybe there was like supernatural, like God voice. I don't know how that happened, but that's pretty awesome. I wish I had that kind of a booming voice. And turn with me as we get into this message today. And I want to go to a section of scripture, a story that's very popular. You may have heard it many a times, but I guarantee you, you're going to hear it in a different light today. So if you turn with me to the Gospel of John, and we're going to go to John. John is not near Isaiah, Pastor Ben. Turn it over. Man, it's sometimes it's somewhere after Matthew and before Hebrews. Man, where is my iPhone with my quick reference scriptures when I need them? Do you know back in the Baptist days, they do those little Baptist, you know, Bible? Well, you know what I'm talking about, because don't they still do them at school where they race to find scriptures and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Bible drills? I mean, those are awesome. I was never in those. I was in a charismatic church. We just wanted the Spirit to lead us to screw right. Screw. No, that's not true. That's not right. Only, anyway, Pastor, stop it. Okay, so we're in John chapter 13, and I'm in 12, now I'm in 13. And we're going to start this story at verse 5. If your Bible cheats and tells you the title of that story right away, it's the point in Jesus' disciples where he washes their feet. How many have heard this story many a times, more than once? Awesome. For those of you that have not heard it at all, welcome to the service. This is a unique story. No other leader of any religious anything has ever done stuff quite like this. So in chapter 13 of John, verse 5, we read, "Then Jesus pours out water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet? Are you going to wash my feet?' And Jesus answered Simon Peter, and he said, 'What I do, you just don't realize now, but you will understand it hereafter.' And Peter says to him, 'You're never going to wash my feet.' Jesus answers him, 'If I don't wash you, you have no part with me.'" Verse 9. So then Peter quickly reframes everything and says, "Well, then don't wash just my feet. Wash my hands, my head. Wash everything. Wash it five times," probably is what he's saying. And he's like, "Do it all over again. All over again. And Jesus says in verse 10, he says, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet." Everybody just say, "Just my feet. Just my feet." "But he's completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." Everybody look at Steve. Sorry. I'm so sorry, Steve. Everybody loves Steve, so that's why we tease him. Anyway, no, and but not only verse 11. I have to recompose myself. "For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, 'Not all of you are clean.'" Verse 12. "And so when he had washed their feet, he'd taken his garment, and then he reclined at the table again, and he said to them, 'Do you guys know what I've just done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am.'" And he goes on to say, "And if I am Lord and the teacher," this is so beautiful, two different roles. Lord of the universe, there is nothing higher than God. Put him on that kind of category and in that box. He is the supreme, ultimate being, the most right. Well, let me say it in this way. Think about it in these terms. Who's most right in this room? Please stand up if you're most right in this room, because you would be Lord then. But none of us are right when compared to the Lord, because the Lord has all knowledge, all power. There is no one better, no one more right, no more justified, no more perfect, no more comparable to anyone else. There is nobody that even comes close to him. Who was it that just did the slideshows with the universe? Was that you that did it? No, who did that? You? Sarah did? Sarah did. Wherever Sarah, she's in with the kids. She showed all these pictures and it shows our galaxy, other galaxies, lots and lots of galaxies and everything. And it's just as crazy how God is so much higher and so Lord compared to us. It's like we're here on Earth, one planet in a whole series of planets in a galaxy, in a universe with lots of other galaxies and all that other stuff. And he's way over there. It's amazing. And then, in addition to just that, he's also servant. He's servant. So, who cleans the toilets? Who just quietly needs to be doing their job without being seen, without being heard? Nobody should know because you are just a servant. I don't want you to distract from the Lord. I want you to quiet, do everything back there. You are the servant, menial. He's both. And he says, it teaches us something. This is so good. That's why I take the extra time and just elaborate and exhort and act silly. But you call me teacher because I am your Lord and you're right. That's who I am. If I am the Lord and the teacher and I washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You ought to wash one another's feet. You know, there is a theological term called oughtness. And that oughtness, anybody ever heard that phrase? Oughtness. Oughtness means that weird sense of right and wrong that is pressed into your conscience, into your something in here. So when someone cuts you off on the highway, that's not the way it should be. That's oughtness ought to be driving the other way, nice, and let us in and merge and all that stuff. So when someone does it, that's not the way it feels. That's the oughtness in you. And when you see an injustice done, oughtness rise up because that's not the way it should be. And when you're thinking of your own life, you give yourself lots and lots of credit whenever you aren't doing what you ought to do. I know I ought to be doing this, but I give myself grace and mercy, right? So let me ask you, if you give grace and mercy to someone else who ought to be doing something, are you giving them the grace and mercy? This is very important in this whole scene because Jesus is about to leave his disciples, go to the cross, and then be lifted up into heaven, and he's not going to be with them. And so he's teaching him some very important things here. And he says, I've given you an example, verse 15, that you should do as I have done. I'm telling you that none of us is greater than the master. Neither is the one who sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is the scripture, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. And from now on, I'm telling you, before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. You don't know what he just said there, but what he said was a prophecy. Did you catch it? About someone who was going to betray him. He inferred that there was about to be a betrayal, and he wanted to tell them before it happened. We call that the Word of God. If I were to speak to one of you today about your life and the future events in your life, you would call that a prophecy, wouldn't you? If I were to give you some kind of pull back the curtain on your life and tell you something that nobody else would know except for God and you, not even your spouse or those closest to you would know it, you would know that I just spoke the word of the Lord to you. Because nobody could know that but God. And so when Jesus tells them, guys, here is a prophetic word. I'm giving you this word, and I'm doing it as a service to you so that when you are shaky in your faith in just a short time from now because your master is crucified, dead, and buried, I want you to remember that I told you before it happened I would be betrayed because your brain's got to hear the word of the Lord. Or you will lose faith and you will get all cattywampus and you'll scatter. But they did, didn't they? If you remember, they did scatter. But Jesus is so good, he's trying to wash them with the word before they even needed the word. That is so awesome about God. God uses others in our lives to speak the word of God, real words that you and I need to have to maintain faith and maintain this attitude of perseverance. You got to have the word of God or you just fall away. You become cold. You become distracted. You become disconnected from the real source of life. And that's the word of God active living in you. You got to have it. And so Jesus spoke the word to them. I wonder if they mixed it with faith and looked at each other and went, all right, guys, we have no idea what in the heck that pastor just said, but he said that something like this is going to happen, so let's just hold on to it. I wish they would have, but they didn't, did they? So sometimes I think we fail to have the blessing of the word of God because we don't hold on to it and don't let it wash our minds. So we're almost done with this story. So he says, now I'm going to tell you this so that you know. Verse 20, truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. Oh, wait, I skipped. It's in the wrong one altogether. And, that's right. Sorry, look at me, I'm distracted. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Again, talking about the word and receiving the word of God. Last week, we talked about Naaman, didn't we? And we talked about how Naaman was not a happy dog until he believed the word of God and obeyed and followed through with it, and then he was cured from his disease. He was washed. He became a believer because he believed the word of God. And you know what? That's the same process in your life and in my life. The minute you and I believe the gospel message, we pass from death to life. We become a happy dog. Something changes in us. That's not the only transformation in our life. That's an inward work that begins to work from the inside out in us. We begin to transform day by day, little by little. And this message now begins to leave that first base, which is the grace and the majesty of God at work in salvation. And now we're talking about some other grace, some other work. What's that mean? Well, I want to talk about soap. I want to talk about this stuff. These bowls are not so that we can have like an old school foot washing service so everybody can take a break. I'm not going to take your shoes off so everybody can see your weird looking toes and smell y'all feet and wash them. I don't want to do that. But I want somebody who likes soaps. I bought some very expensive soap and some cheap soap. Would someone join me up here? And I want to get your input on the smell of these soaps. They're good soaps. So there's no tricks here. You don't have to worry about it. So, go ahead and in no takers. That means I'm going to pick somebody. Good man. That's what happens when you sit on the front row. I'm so sorry about that. All right. Everybody know this is Frank and Travis. His name is Travis. His parents call him Travis. His wife calls him Travis. I call him Frank today. So Frank is going to help me. And bro, take the black soap. And smell it. What does it smell like to you? Smells good. Can I eat it? No, I won't do that. It is edible. It's actually made of coconut and I think some kind of black, something black. Kind of obvious, right? Something black. And it's supposed to be super, this is like, almost $9. Yeah, that's exactly it. I usually just wash with water. No, I did. No, that's not true. Okay, so that's that one. Let's try its cousin, the white one. What does that smell like? Oh, you are so good. There's no pineapple in it. It's a coconut again. And I think almond. Do you smell almonds? Neither do I. But I was like, but again, this is another expensive soap. Why in the world do people use these? So nine, yeah, crazy. Okay, so now we're coming towards mine. Look at that. Look at this weird, like, what color is this? Aqua? Sure. This one smells like the gym room. It smells like when guys get clean. And it's like overly clean. You know, like when a 13-year-old has to like compensate for stinky everything and they have to, he's like, yeah, I know exactly what that is like. That's amazing. Years of youth work did this to me. Just like, oh my gosh. Too much Axe. I don't know. And then the everyday soaps. Which one would you pick normally? Either. It doesn't matter. You're just like me. I don't care if it's in the shower, I use it. Unless it smells like lavender. These are both strong. Okay, so now I want us to do an experiment. Can you wash your hands with one of these and then tell me the feel of it? And then I'm going to wash too, okay? I'm going to put a little bit of this on there. And then, and I'm going to try, I'm going to go with the stinky guy soap. Yeah. And you can wash whatever. This is good stuff, though, I think. It is. So, while you got the soap, do you have a favorite verse that you kind of remember, paraphrase or anything like that? 3, 5, and 6. Oh, awesome. Well, what does that basically say? That's phenomenal. So I knew you was a good Christian guy and stuff like that, and probably had a scripture and everything. So let's just say you're having a hard day, and you just realized that Sarah spent all shopping at Kohl's, and she didn't, and then this is the week you got to totally pay for your new house. Congratulations! Yeah. Anyway, that was an inside something. He just got a new house, so thank God for that. That's awesome. But so you just realized your bank account is empty, but you got to pay your. Go ahead and say your verse again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's awesome. How sudsy are you yet? You pretty sudsy? Can I smell that one? Is that the white coconut? Yeah, it still smells the same. And so then, what about you? Got kids, right? So, and they're young still, kind of, right? So they're going to go away to college or something probably like that. Do you ever worry about their future? Never? Why? Because you got that scripture verse. Part of it, yeah. Part of it? That's pretty phenomenal. So then, I don't know what my favorite verse is today. But you can rinse off your hands now and tell me, is there much residue there? Yeah. Pretty good? You can go ahead and rinse it off and see how well it rinses. Do you need some help there for a second? Let me see. My hands are soapy too. Can one of you help rinse his hands? Just rinse. I want to see how it rinses off. It's pretty good. I like that. It doesn't rinse off very easy though, but it's good. Keep going, man. Scrub them. Wash them off. That's good. You know, your hands looked pretty clean even before you did this today. So it wasn't. Ken gets dirty at his job, really dirty at his job, and then he has to use probably not this like mamsy pamsy girly soap. He uses like real man soap. Do you use man soap at work?
Yeah, lacquer thinner.
Lacquer thinner.
Yeah. It's the only way paint comes off.
So would lacquer thinner feel the same way that soap felt? Probably not, right? So I'm gonna have you then help me. Thanks, man. I'm gonna have you help me because here's a distinction you have to make. This point, you gotta never forget this. Some soap is like this, little Proverbs 3:5-7. You know, you gotta keep it on hand. Wash your hands. You know, little light stuff. It's good for you all the time, right? And then there's other kinds of soap like Ken's that will eat your skin off. Which actually, I just learned how to make your own lye from pot ash. You know, like wood ash. And you like boil it and stuff like that, and then the lye water, and you mix it with some, you know, chicken fat or pig fat or some fat lard stuff, and you can. But if you put like an actual chicken in some lye water, it'll eat it up. It'll dissolve it all. That's freaky. So now you know how to get rid of that body that's behind your house. You just put it in a big old thing. Never mind. And stuff like that. So there's, and but that's how soap is made, right? That's how soap is made. So there's soap that is just for washing your hands. It's simple stuff. And then some soap, it stings. Like, I'm going to put this in my eyes and test it and see if this stings.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
I just want to see. Because it says that it's supposed to not, it's sensitive. I don't believe it. But I just want to see how bad it is, okay?
No, no!
Ben! Did you rehearse this, Elise?
No. Okay, so my first impression is that even though it says it's sensitive, it's not. And let's... I can't really see much, but can't rinse this off just a little bit. So, okay, let me see. I'm gonna get some of this in there. Oh man, wow, that's good. Ah, all right. So, okay, so then some. It's still burning. It's still burning over here. It just kicked into high gear. It's water activated. Okay. Oh, maybe put it on this here. Here, put it on this. This is good. Okay. All right. So far, I've learned something. Certain use of soap is okay in one context, but not in another. Oh, you know what? I think it applies to the Word of God, too. Because sometimes we use the Word of God in gentle ways that it's supposed to, and then other times we use it in ways that it really stings. And it can hurt people. And stuff like that. It's kind of like when I was little growing up and I did wrong things and my mom would put soap on my mouth. I don't think that's legal anymore, is it?
My parents had a spoon.
Spoon. So I'm not gonna try and eat any of this. one more, a little bit of this more. And here's the thing. I'm using you for a real reason because I can't do this kind of stuff without another brother. If I was real dirty, you can put that down for a second because I can see without burning. If I was real dirty and I had a like big old block of something on my face of mud or goo, and yet it wasn't irritating me enough to really stop and think about it, you could be my brother and you could be like, Ben, you got a big old like thingy right there and you got to wash it off, right? You would do that because you like me. And I would do that just because I like you too. You know, and that's the way it is with the Word of God. So I know your favorite scripture, but I'm going to tell you something. As a good Christian man, I'm just losing it. I'm discouraged. I just don't know how to figure things out. My life is falling apart, and I'm miserable. I'm really stressing all the time. Now's your cue to use your scripture and wash me. So what's that scripture verse that you got?
Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Be not on your own understanding, but always submit to him, and he'll make your path straight.
But man, I gotta figure it out. I mean, I understand, but how do I even do that?
Stop thinking. Stop trying to control it yourself and just trust in God.
How often do I have to do this, man?
Daily?
Hourly? Man. Wait a minute. How often do you wash your hands?
Once a week.
That's good. I'm sorry, Sarah. And, I don't know. I thought he was joking yesterday. And he goes, hey, it's Saturday. We wash. That's awesome. No, he did it once a week. And so you mean it's every day that I need to go to this kind of stuff and wash my mind. And well, I want you to think about this because soap is a part of your everyday life. And the Word of God should be a part of your everyday life. It really should be. And the reality is it can't just be in isolation. Sometimes it has to be with a good brother, a good friend, someone close to you, that they can take the Word of God that washes us, and they use it to cleanse us, to get rid of the junk and the defilement. Give Travis a good hand. He was very helpful to me this morning. What Jesus was doing with his disciples is exactly what we saw there. He basically tells Peter, when he says, I want to wash your feet, and Peter says, no, he's actually saying out of the love of his heart, he goes, no, you are the Lord, you are God Almighty, I will not let you demean yourself, put yourself so low like this and take on the form of a servant. And he goes, no. If you don't let me wash you, we don't have a part in each other's life. Now, he was referencing, it was very clear, he was referencing, if you don't believe me as your Lord and Savior, and you let me wash you from all of the junk of religious do's and don'ts, you will not be able to relate with me. So throw all that religious do and don't out the window and relate to me through faith in my grace for you. And then you're clean, just like what we said last week. But then he goes, well, then wash everything. And he goes, no, idiot. He didn't say that. But he's like, no, you're not getting it either. Because spiritually, you might be clean, but that doesn't mean that you are never dirty again. See, every one of us in this room live in a real world with real trials of faith, with real struggles. I struggle, you struggle. If you haven't struggled, well, then you're delirious. I don't know what, you're not real. You're living an illusion. But real people struggle. And they struggle with hard things. What to do with their money, what to do with their kids, what to do with their jobs or their future, or what to do with the things they feel about themselves. These people can struggle with very, very big deals. What do you do on those things? They can mess you up. You wash, and often you need someone else to wash your feet. See, Jesus said, if you're clean, the only thing you need to continually keep cleaning are your feet, because they get the dirt of this world on it. That's the beautiful imagery. And so as we walk in this world and pick up defilement, dirt and junk and all these other things, we need to stop and wash. Just like when we wash our hands, because we get busy touching doorknobs and all these other things. And don't be putting your food in your mouth if you ain't washed your hands. The reason I have to teach this in Wisconsin is because Wisconsin is the one state out of the union that doesn't wash compared to the others. We're the least when it comes to washing. Let's change that. We drink the most and wash our hands the least. So that's so scary. So we're going to change that. But the reality is you've got to wash your hands, your feet, your body. You take showers often. And as a Christian, how do we do that? We do that with the Word of God. And so we do it washing with the Word of God. And I think about it in some ways like this. It says, yeah. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says in verse 12, going through verse 14, it says, by now you should be teachers. Instead, you just need somebody to teach you the elementary truths of God's word. You need milk, not solid food. I mean, all those who live on milk just lack the experience to talk about what is right. They're still just babies. However, solid food is for mature people whose minds are trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. I want to read that last verse 14 out of chapter 5 again. Solid food is for mature people whose minds are trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. Here's the thing. I'm going to offer to you an advanced study today in cleanliness. How many of you understand the tenets of salvation? By grace you're saved through faith. You are made righteous in the sight of God. You're justified because of Jesus' blood, not because of any good work you do. Anybody agree with that? Say amen. Raise your hand real high. That's salvation's message. But how many of you can say this morning you are without sin? Nobody. Why? Because you never know what it is that might be an inner bent thing. You may not be aware of it. It could be an act of omission, an act of commission, something that you do willfully, something that you do by accident, all these kinds of things. It's very important for us to understand that just living in this junky world, you get junk on you. That doesn't mean that you're no longer saved, because you have been made righteous in the sight of God. Clothed in Jesus' garments, you are white, you're a saint. Even Ken is a saint. Isn't that awesome? I mean, Ken may go, I'm not a saint. So step one, this is baby Christian stuff. You are a saint. You're clean. You are washed. It's almost like if Peter was here, Jesus saying, you're washed. And he goes, okay, I get it. But then he says, but why are you washing my feet? Because your feet stink. No, it's because that's just normal living. You must wash often and daily. But you don't do that like salvation. You do that with washing with the Word of God over and over again. You know, this is important because some of us can never progress past the basic tenets of the gospel message as if that's all that God has for us. No. There is more. More. So here is the advanced study, and I'm sorry if this is going to mess you up, but let's go to a very complicated section of Scripture, and I'll tweak your brain. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, two verses really mess people's brains up, verse 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 8, 10 and 12 talk about this conscience and people's freedoms and liberties regarding conscience. And so here we are. We're reading in verse 10. It says, for if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? Ah! How many of you went, I just read that with you, but I still don't know what in the world it meant. Sometimes we read these things and go, I still don't get what that means. Now let's fast forward to verse 12. So in verse 12, what does it say? It says, but when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. What are we talking about, Pastor Ben? We're talking about washing. That's really what we're talking about. We're talking about how washing applies to your everyday life. See, grace is not licension. It's not a license to do whatever you want because God has made you good in his eyes. That's never what grace and the power of the gospel has done for you and I. In fact, what the power of the gospel message has done, it's not erased the law, it's fulfilled the law and made it bigger, stronger, more powerful than you and I could ever imagine. What Moses wrote down on two tablets is a drop in the ocean compared to God's righteous moral standards and all those things, who he is. So if you're caught up with do's and don'ts, you don't get it. Because God's so much bigger than just a list of do and don'ts. And so when we reduce Christianity in America to a give me a set of rules of what I can do and what I can't do, we are missing the whole point. The reality is this. I know when someone doesn't have a relationship with God based on what I tell them they can't do and suddenly they can't handle that. I could tell some person, hey, I don't want you to be drinking, man. You're a Christian. And you'd be like, oh, how dare you tell me that I can't be drinking, man? You're taking away my freedoms. I don't see anything in the New Testament, and just that Old Testament stuff, and we're New Testament Christians. I can drink like I want to drink as long as I don't get drunk. Come on, what you doing with it? Are you grace? Come on, are you law and legalism? And man, they get so defensive. They do. They get so defensive. Just like if I say, hey, man, you got to watch what it is you do with this moral stuff. You got to be cutting out some of that junk. Hey, man, don't be telling me what to do and what I can't do. I know why I'm saved. I know how I'm saved. People get defensive on these areas. They really do. And it's so funny because God's standard, like what we read in this scripture right here, so much higher. He says, while you live with each other, your life teaches others something. So how you live, clean or unclean, is always teaching something to someone else. So suddenly we have a basis on why it was so popular in the holiness movement to abstain from things of the flesh that were desires and lusts of the flesh. Why was that ever a popular doctrine in Scripture? Because, or in a church history? Because it's in the Bible. And no amount of going to Galatians, if you're thinking about it already. No amount of going to Galatians and going to say, well, my Bible says faith expressing itself through love is what matters, and touch not doesn't matter, and do this doesn't matter, and all that stuff. You are right, but you can also be wrong. Because if it gives you a license to act how you want without regard to your fellow man, then you are the thing that's defiling your fellow man. Okay, now I might have lost some of you because this is starting to get in deep. Here's how it comes down. So, Petraea, come on up here, babe. We're not married, say. Okay, we're not married. And I'm a girlfriend, okay? You're a girl and I'm a girlfriend. Okay, it's just like, because I can't just tell somebody else to improv this because they don't know what I'm thinking. So we're girlfriends and we're out doing what girlfriends do. I don't know what they do. And they shop, okay? And you asked me a question about your boyfriend. And yeah, you can use real words. No, I'm teasing. So my girlfriend, Petraea, she just asked me if it's okay to date this guy. And so, go ahead and ask that.
So, what do you think? Is it okay to date this guy?
Well, sure. Do you think he's hot?
Oh, totally.
Wow. I'm a little jealous now suddenly, and I didn't expect. No, I'm teasing. So let me ask you. You're a Christian. Is he a Christian?
Yeah.
He is? That's phenomenal. Okay, so now do it again, but saying you don't know.
Okay. All right, ask again.
So, is he a Christian? Oh, girlfriend, why do you not know?
Well, it's not like a bad.
Well, you know what I say? As long as he's cute, who cares?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, well. You know, when I first met my first, wait, my second, for, well, we got married for a little bit, and then, no. Well, he said he was a Christian, but I never saw him go to church, and then when we were together, we never went to church either, but you know what? He was a good kisser, so hopefully it works out. Thank you. Go sit down. Okay, you just went to like kindergarten church today, okay? I'm sorry for that. Hopefully you never forget this. What I just did is I just made her dirty. Did you catch it? I just did what 1 Corinthians 8, 10, and 12 says I'm not supposed to do. Why? I just told by example, I give myself freedoms that you should enjoy because I live under grace. I have no idea what her conscience is. I have no idea what she's been raised. I don't know what her struggles are. And if I just told her, you have freedom, God will work it out, do whatever you want. I could have just destroyed years of her life. I could have just given her heartache upon heartache because of my insensitivity, because of my personal freedoms that I demand on. And how unloving is that? That's why it says, I sin against Christ. Do you realize that Christ is so right? He could have come down and smashed everybody on the planet. But instead, he was gentle and gracious and said, you guys are all defiled and dirty. You don't even know. And I'm going to take on flesh and I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to wash your souls. And then I'm going to be with you so that every day as you get dirty, I'm going to cleanse you. And I'm going to work in your heart so you learn to love what I love. And what God is holy. So you're learning to love holiness. You're learning to love separateness from the world. And now that feels a little like religion. And today in our society, we don't like religion. Don't give me your stupid soap recipes on how to clean up your life and all that stuff. You know what? Soap has a purpose. The Bible has a purpose. It tells you how to think, how to feel about politics, about family, about business, about everything in life. And the Bible has to be taken from obscurity because right now we are truly, I believe, we are a secular nation, meaning that the Bible has lost its social significance. Social significance. It means nothing. But it's sad to me that it almost means nothing in most church circles. And so the same message we preach in most churches in America today, you can hear anywhere. A secular artist could sing it. It means just the same as when a pastor preaches it. And so if that's really how watered down and diluted all this is, well, then it doesn't matter what we believe. And it doesn't matter your version of the Bible or doctrine. I'm just here to tell you, doctrine matters. Soap matters. The stuff you wash your brain with matters. And the reason it matters is because it cleans your feet every single day. And so here's the challenge. Between you and I, don't be Peter with each other. If my good friend Travis were to come up and say, Ben, I got to talk with you, man. You've been messing up. And I just want to say, here's a scripture verse, and I just want you to hear this verse, man. I love you. I'm just going to share it to you. What he's doing is he's giving me some soap. If he does it in this humble servant attitude like what Jesus demonstrated, I guarantee you to give you the best chance for us to say, oh, man, that's awesome. But there's always going to be one in the crowd. One crowd member, Peter, someone in your life, when you say, well, here's what the Bible says, they'll say, don't you dare wash my feet. Don't you dare do this, because they don't want that. They don't want that. It's an inconvenience. It's inappropriate in their mind. But if you love them, you will serve them by washing their feet. Share the word with them. Now, even in a marriage relationship, Petrae and I is so sweet in our marriage relationship, because there's times where I'll wash her with the word of God, but she'll do it with me too. She'll tell me the word of God. She'll see me struggling in an area, and I'll be wrestling with something, and she'll just come along and she'll say, well, this is the way I see it. And it was just go to, and she'll share something on her heart. And she doesn't usually talk long like a preacher. She just says it real short and very smartly. and then I'm like, oh, man, you should be the preacher. You're so awesome at that. You know, and it washes my brain, changes the way I think. And I challenge you to do that with your spouse, to do that with your close friends, to do that in such a way where you might risk offending the Peter who says, I don't want you doing that to me. Just remind him, hey, this is how we fellowship. This is how we sharpen one another. You don't do it because you're the moral standard. You do it because the word of God is the moral standards, and that's how we all yield to it. See, the challenge in this kind of a message of being washed is we like our dirt, we own our dirt, and we're mad at anybody else that tells us we don't have a right to stay dirty. Think about that for a second. How rude is that? And maybe the other kind of relational thing that we probably struggle with is, well, it's kind of like this issue of control when it comes working with others. There was this kid that was on a missions trip with me one time, and his feet stunk so bad through his shoes. You could smell it. He could clear a room out with the smell coming from his feet. And the tennis shoe, you know that whole mesh on tennis shoes that says a foot breathes? Some feet should never breathe. Some feet should never breathe. Some feet should like be amputated and put in quarantine. And this poor kid, I don't know what happened to his feet, but he had overactive feet glands or something. And man, he came into the room one night. We was in some southern state, and it was hot all day. We were working. He comes in. The minute he steps in the room, I'm already half asleep, laying down. Everybody else is. And I'm like, oh, dear God, what is that smell? And I'm not a gentle soul when it comes to, like, I don't, like, pull him aside. Excuse me, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but, you know, you are rank. I don't say that. I'm the kind that, like, right there in public, I'm like, oh, God, you stink horrible. What is that? You know? And so that's what happened. And he's like, I don't know what. I was like, where's it coming from? It's so bad you couldn't tell. He was like, is it up there, down there? Where is it at? And he goes, and I'm like, I think it's stronger there. Oh, dear God, look at that. And I was like, his name was Elijah. And I was like, Elijah, go deal with that. Throw the shoes away if you have to, but go deal with it. So he disappears. 20 minutes goes by. He comes back. And you would have thought that he would have cleaned them and stuff like that. It was worse. The fragrance, the only way I can smell or tell you what it smelled like, to this day I can imagine the smell. Almost tasted in my mouth. This kid walks in, and suddenly the room was filled with lavender flower petal smell and vomit. It was like, you made it worse. What happened? Through like all kinds of interrogation and then taking him physically back to the restroom, that's when I discovered he didn't use any soap. Instead, he looked in the bathroom and saw this air spray and thought, that smells good. Coated his feet, coated the shoes, put them back on, never washed them, and came right back to the room. That's why it smelled like lavender petals and vomit. And And so then what did I do? I made him wash his feet while I watched. And then I put his shoes in a bag, tied the knot, and took it away and donated some shoes to him. And I'm like, all right, from here on out, man, it's sandals for you and washing every couple hours, okay? Because that ain't happening again. But I look at this guy, and you know the funny thing in my mind? He was so close to washing, but he wouldn't. He did anything and everything to kind of make up for his stink, like he had a right to his stink, with the exception of ever washing his stinky feet. He even used spray to make it smell beautiful. And this is a wonderful analogy of how some people clean with the Word of God. They don't want to go to the Bible for themselves. And they are, frankly, they don't care what you tell them about the Bible. They just want the general ideas of goodness. And they want everyone to smell their goodness. They just don't want to really do the hard work of washing their feet. And so if you are the kind of person who says, well, let's wash this, they will not like you, chances are. It's going to be an inconvenience. It's not the way they normally do life. But I'll tell you something. Everyone's life is better when those people wash their feet. It's just better. There's a cleanliness. It feels good. And then there's this sense of happy dog like last week that restores in your life. It's just so good. I love it. And I guess I can end it like this. There's a concept when it comes to soap that I used years ago, and it's not just my own thing. There's many versions of this, so I just, instead of giving you this paper, I just want you to go and you could do your own search and download your own things. But I want you to use this word soap, and I want you to use it when it comes to your own personal Bible study. And soap can stand for these words. S in soap can stand for Scripture. So here's my imaginary board. I'm going to write on it. So if you got your pencils or your paper or that kind of stuff. Okay, up here on my board. Does everybody see the board? I don't want to stand away. Okay, so I'm going to, Scripture. I write in cursive, so if you can't read it, I'm sorry. So Scripture. S stands for? Gotcha. And then the next word in soap is starts with an O. And so on this word, I blew my little dot. Oh, cross the T. What was that? Observation. Scripture, and then the second word was observation. Everybody got it? Did I spell it right? Okay, good. So Scripture and then observation. Now, what is observation? This is not your observation. Think of it as contextual evidence. What does the Scripture actually say? Don't be cherry-picking Scriptures. You know what that means, don't you? Cherry-picking Scriptures is finding a Scripture that backs up what you already feel. Like, oh, man, I'm really angry at my wife. I wonder if there's a verse that says that I'm right and she's wrong. Let's go find that out. Oh, look, there is. Woman, cover your head. There you go. I'm on a, look at that. She just went, you didn't do that. I know I didn't do that. See that? That's what cherry-picking Scriptures do. You could always find a Scripture to back up what you want. So here's what we do. You pick a Scripture. Then your observation is this. What does it actually say? Who is it actually talking to? Because it's written, depending on where you're reading in Scripture, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years ago. I mean, these things are to a whole different crowd, a whole different culture. And so you might have to do a little bit of thinking and observation just to say, well, what is this actually meaning? Because I guarantee you some of those things don't actually address Google searches and internet, you know, ethics. It just doesn't. But you got to do some observation. And then maybe it's talking to somebody that has nothing to do with your current situation. And so you couldn't apply it even though it sounds like it. So it's important to make an observation. Who is it? When is it? What was going on? Well, you know, what was that observation? Then you move on to the next one. So I'll erase this. So the first S is what? O is what? And then this big one there, A. Oop. That was me. Okay. A stands for application. Application. Now that you've made your observation, now make your application. And when you make your application, you do this without any preconceived applications. This is when you ask, like David would ask, God, just search my heart and you show me. You show me. Because the soap will sting sometimes, but it'll remove the dirt. It'll soothe sometimes, but it'll be healing, soothing. But the application is very important, and come with the humility. That's your openness. What can I do? And it's very simple. One scripture, make your observation. You get then to this one, A, application. What is it that you're supposed to do? How do you apply it? Now, if you don't apply it, soap will not benefit you at all, will it? Come on, Elijahs. You can't just spray it. Apply it. Apply it. All right, so then the last one, P. What is that one? Prayer. Prayer. Someone said practice. I like that. I'm like prayer and practice. Someone said practice prayer. Prayer. Why prayer? Well, because prayer is this thing that you and I are supposed to be able to do always, continually, in our communication with the Lord. This is a relationship. This is a relationship. It's not a system of do's and don'ts. It's something you got to talk out. And the Holy Spirit, though you may not see the Holy Spirit as a physical body, He will speak to your heart and your mind. You will know things. They'll be revealed to you. You got to pray and ask. And sometimes you're making deposits in this heavenly bank account. You're asking questions. You're petitioning. As you've applied it, you're going, okay, God, now that I know what you want me to do, here's my request. Here's my need. Because sometimes you read that scripture and you're like, wow, I got to change everything. I can't do this on my own. Whoop, you just went to prayer. God, I can't do this on my own. I need some help here. I don't know how to do this. I'm just a guy. I'm dumb. I need you. I need this soap in my life. I need your word. And I need you to transform everything. And suddenly soap becomes powerful and it changes you. And so you do scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And here's what you need to do with that soap. Do it daily. Do it daily. When should you wash with soap? Daily. Don't be a Wisconsinite and wash every so often. Be a Christian and wash daily. When you go to the bathroom, wash. When you go before you eat, wash. You know, all these things. Before you go to bed, wash. My wife would yell so bad if I went to bed after mowing the lawn and doing yard work, clean out the garage, and then just slip right into bed. She would be hitting me and be like, get out of bed, why would I yell? That's because I need to wash. And that's what you've got to do daily. So wash daily. Here's another thing with scripture. You know how Travis had this scripture when I called on him? I said, well, you got a favorite scripture? He goes, yeah, Proverbs is the one I can think of. You don't like that. It's hard to memorize scripture, but I'm going to challenge you. Memorize it. Memorize it. Any of it. I don't care. A little bottle of soap is better than no soap. Any of it. Just memorize it. If you don't know one scripture verse, like John 3:16. How many of you kind of know John 3:16? Okay. Some of you are like, I'm going to do it real quick. I don't know. It's kind of like the Our Father. I don't know where in the world it is in Scripture, but I remember Our Father who art in... Amen. You know, there are things that we just barely remember, but I'll tell you, you've got to memorize something of the Scripture. And that's good. Now, here's the last two about this soap. Just like we talked about, we interact with soap. We use it. You know, when my wife was raising our daughters when they were little, do you know she showed them how to use soap? How many moms, how many of you showed your kids how to use soap? Good moms, good moms. That's awesome. And how many of you had to tell your kid you didn't do anything good enough, get back there and wash it again? Almost every mom. It's amazing. And then some, you have to say things like, rinse it off for goodness sake. You're going to be eating Dawn soap. Don't do that, you know? And it's, you have to coach them. So here's what it is. So Bill and I, you know, we go out and we'll eat, and here's two pastors. What do two pastors do when they go out to eat? They get fat. No. That's just me. Bill's losing weight. But here, I'll tell you what happens. We talk scripture. We talk the Bible. That's what we do. Hey, what do you think about this? I don't know. What do you think about this? We email back and forth. We talk things. It's amazing, but that's one of the things that we do. We also talk about you guys. No. And we talk about all kinds of stuff. But, you know, these are the things that we use scripture in conversation. I want you to know something. Resist the urge to say to yourself in social circles with your friends that the Bible is obsolete and you are not allowed to bring it up. It is not politics. It is not one of these evil things that you are allowed to say, let's just keep it off the thing. This is something different. You've got to talk about this. The Bible actually tells you to talk about it while you do things. The Old Testament says talk about it while you walk. Talk about it while you go at your house and you lay down in your beds and you get up in your beds while you go business. Basically everywhere, all the time, talk the Bible. This is so important, and I wish people, no matter what your job was, you did it. You talked the Bible. And you know the funny thing is I believe that when you're not weird about it, and you can be weird about it, George is like, oh yeah, I think I've seen some weird ones. Yes, you could be weird. When it's not genuine and sincere from your heart, then you're the creepy guy hanging out by the cooler waiting for a victim. And then when he comes out, you're like, hey, how's your day going? I bet you it'd be better if you knew this verse. And you start to talk about the verse, and they're like, oh my gosh, I wanted water, but now I need to leave. You know, it's just scary. You can't be the creepy dude, but it's got to be real life. It's got to mean something. And people will see your sincerity in your heart, and they'll be able to listen to you. If you're just a jerk wanting to share your religious perspectives and viewpoints just to hear yourself talk, then shut your mouth. But if it's meaningful and it's real, people will value that. And that has to be talked about. That's part of soap. And then the last thing is this. You've got to be able to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Meditate on it. It's so important because we don't really meditate on Scripture much anymore. And I love the fact that there is this trend for mindfulness that's around. Didn't you put a thing out? So we won't go into it. But mindfulness is just retarded. And I can't even say that word. So I'm sorry for saying that word if that offended you. But what I meant to say is this. It's slow in its development to the point where it's crazy. It's just crazy. It's taken something God really has given to us and distorted it entirely. See, meditation on the Scripture is like cows. You get the grass, you chew the grass, you swallow the grass, and then you start to digest it, and you burp it up, and then you chew it again, and you digest it, you burp it up, and you chew it again. You do this until it's just this gooey mass, and then you drink it, because it's called milk. It's disgusting. So we sell almond milk now at the church, so you can bypass all of this. But that's meditation. You bring it back up, chew on it. Swallow it. Bring it back up, chew on it, swallow it. Each time you do it, you digest it better. Each time you do it, you break it down more. You find the nuggets in it that you didn't even know before. This is what you do with Scripture. And so don't be quick to just run through Scripture. It's not a race. Eat it. Take that chunk of Scripture and just chew on it. If it stood out to you in your devotional times, don't pass it up. Hold on to it. Write it down and go back to it every single day, a couple times during the day, and meditate on it. All right, we're done. I could preach another message on something else, and we're going to stop that now. But next week, when we're at the park, I want you to get your praise on. I want you to get your praise on. I want you to have fun. I want you to enjoy the day. And Lord willing, we'll have a beautiful day. We'll be able to praise God. It's not a Sunday for us to show up in our shorts and flip-flops to play some volleyball and eat burgers and stuff and cry at the altar. That's not this next Sunday. This next Sunday is I want you to meditate on the joy of your salvation. You have been set free. You have been covered by God's love, His mercy, His grace. He loves you, yes, you, just the way you are. He loves you so much, He gave you soap to use every single day of your life so that you can start smelling like Him, looking like Him, and acting like Him. That's how much He loves you. And you know, this next Sunday when we're there at Bay Beach, I don't know how many people show up at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at Bay Beach, but I'll tell you, you're going to be there. And I want to worship God outside the four walls not with any agenda other than just lifting God up in a public place. And I think that's something all of us can do. And you don't have to be afraid about that or anything. And then afterwards, I want to goof off and I want to play games and I want to watch kids ride rides. And I'm not going to spend $50 to ride that big Ferris wheel thing for the first time, which I think they were selling tickets for. I'm just going to pay my $3 and be done, you know. But maybe I'll get to ride the Ferris wheel with you and do some fun stuff. And at the end of the day, we'll go home and it'll be a great way to celebrate some summer here in Wisconsin. And I look forward to that. Stand with me today and I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Father God, I thank you so much for every single person here today. Lord, your mercy and grace is so amazing. It's overwhelming. You wash us. You've cleansed us. We've been reborn, made brand new. And right now I'm asking you that you show us what it means to wash with your word and to wash each other's feet with gentleness and an attitude of humble service. Lord, help us to wash each other's feet just like you did. Lord, with gentleness, with a kindness, not with any personal vendettas or any revenge, but Lord, let there be that humble washing. And I ask that you make your bride, your church, glorious today. Clean us up, Lord. Let our hands be free from all the things that defile it. And just like your word said, anything that defiles our spirit or our body, anything that defiles our spirit or our body, Lord, help us to wash from that today. And I just ask that each and every one of you feel God's favor on your life as you go your separate ways. In your name we pray, Lord. Say amen. All right, bless you guys. Get out of here. And we got... Oh, just as a note, if the weather is real bad and it's raining, we'll do basically church here and the potluck here at the same time. So that's only if the weather really is bad, but I'm believing it's going to be awesome. Yeah. Overcast and little sprinkles is nothing.